Praise the Lord. You can give God a hand, that's fine, as long as it's for Him. Praise the Lord. Revelation 5, we're not going to preach from it, I'm just going to read what you just heard. Revelation 5:11 says, "And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and of the beast and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands." So here's Revelation. It's when the seal, the book is presented before any seal is opened during the tribulation. The Bible shows the 24 elders, that's we who are saved, surrounding the throne, and we're wondering who's going to open the book. And His name is Jesus. And it says that they were saying with a loud voice, amen for the loud voice, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Hey, friends, that's our future. If you're saved, you'll be around the throne one day worshiping Him. And I believe right now here on earth, we can get a little glimpse of eternity when we just humble ourselves and we get out of this old world and get into worship. You know, worship is not about us. Worship is about Him. It's worth-ship. He is worthy. And He alone is worthy of all the glory and the honor and the blessing. And you know, right now, Joyce Brewer and everyone that you know that has saved and has gone on to eternity, right now they're worshiping the Lord Jesus around the throne. And if we're going to stir up the gift of God given to us, if we're going to have the earnest of our inheritance, that's the Holy Ghost. He was given to us as the down payment. That's the earnest. When you buy a house, you put down earnest money. Well, guess what? When you got saved, you got some earnest. And that's the Spirit of God. And He gives you a little glimpse of eternity. And that glimpse of eternity is worship. Amen. And friend, today we're going to get back to what God wants for our lives and for our church. And that's to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's just introduction out of nowhere. But take your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles 7 this morning as we consider the cry for revival. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said that revival means days of heaven on earth. And really that's what we just sang about. Days of heaven on earth. In revival, the minds of the people are concentrated upon things of eternity, and there is an awareness that nothing else matters. God is sending revival. This past Thursday, we took a group of a van load up to over to the Burlington Revival, and God's really moving in the Burlington, North Carolina area. This Monday will mark their sixth straight week of revival. And they're under a tent right now. We showed up. We tried to leave and get there about 45 minutes or an hour early. It was a Baptist camp meeting, so I thought Baptists come late. But we ended up being the back row Baptist, and there were over 2,500 people under the tent and more that were surrounding. And it was just a power-filled night. You know, God is sending revival to our state. I heard yesterday of a revival over in Burnsville, North Carolina, where God is moving and the Spirit of God is saving souls. That night that we were there on Thursday, 34 souls were saved. Over 150 have come to Christ. 200 pastors were there Thursday night. You can't get two pastors to agree a lot of times, but 200 pastors were standing together. And this day has been set aside for all the pastors a part of the revival. At noon, we're going to gather together in the different churches, and we're going to seek God's face before the altar. And we're going to ask God for a little space of grace, a little reviving in our bondage. We want to ask God to show up in this church, our lives, this city. We need revival. God wants to send revival. It's His will that His people be revived. And just like Jeffrey was talking about, revival is getting that life back. I need revival. You need revival. Every moment of our day, we must have revival. Do you really want revival? Amen. This past National Day of Prayer, Mayor Rose asked me to speak for a few moments. That's a miracle to get me to speak for a few moments. But he said I had 10 minutes on the dot to speak. And the Lord laid 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And by a miracle, I was finished in 10 minutes. But the Lord's led me back to this passage. And for those that were there that Thursday, this is the rest of the story. Your Bibles were open to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles has been called the Revival Manual of the Old Testament. Any revival we're going to experience can't come from any old manual. It has to come from the Word of God. There's nothing that I have this morning apart from His Word. And as you look at a revival manual, this Old Testament book records five major revivals in the history of the nation of Judah. The nation of Israel is divided at this point. Israel in the northern kingdom, Judah in the southern. The way to think about this is like the north and the south, northern bad, southern good. No. But Judah was good, and Judah sought after the things of God. And in their 300-year period, while Israel was experiencing being backslid and going against God and choosing sin, Judah was that nation that sought after God time and time again. And I believe God is making North Carolina here in the South, amen, a little space. I believe when we stood against the abomination of HB2 and we stood for common sense and we stood for Scripture, I believe the Spirit of God said, I'm just going to hang out in North Carolina for just a while. And that's what they did, and that's what God did to Judah. And this the power of God is just revealed throughout the book of 2 Chronicles. And it's here in chapter 5 where it all starts. You see, the temple has been completed. For 7 years, Solomon constructed the house of God. They returned the Ark of the Covenant, that's the presence of God, to the place of God. And as they begin to return the presence to the place, they begin to praise and they begin to worship. And the Bible says that when they praised and when they worshiped, they had one sound, and that one sound of unity. Listen, if there's anything we can unify around, it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's who Jesus is. And He deserves all worship. He deserves all glory. And they begin to praise God and they begin to worship God. And the Scripture says that as soon as they begin to worship, as soon as they begin to praise, the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And as they worshiped and as they praised, the house of God was filled with the smoke. It was filled with the cloud of God's glory. So much so that the Bible says the priests could not see. They could not even stand to minister. Hey, would you imagine here in this church if the glory of God would just descend upon us and we'd get our eyes off the preacher, we'd get our eyes off who we are and what church we're part of, and we just can't see anything but the glory of God and see His presence. And there was such a filling, there was such a manifestation of the glory of God. They couldn't see and they couldn't serve. Can you imagine such a manifestation? They begin to run out. Hey, listen, when God shows up, a lot of folks that have never seen the glory of God, never experienced, never seen or felt God's presence, a lot of folks get a little scared. Hey, what's going on here? What's happening? Hey, something else is filling the midst. Something else is filling the house. And they begin to run out a little bit in fear. But Solomon says, hey, wait, I know what's going on. God has showed up in His midst. He recalled back in the days of Moses in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9, in Exodus 20 and verse 21. God told Moses to come into the secret place. God says that He dwells and He will dwell in the thick darkness. Hey, God shows up in the places that you don't expect. God shows up in the secret places and the times that you're meditating upon Him. And when you're in your closet and it's not about you, it's not about the attention, it's all about God. And Solomon says, hey, listen, we praised Him, we worshiped Him, and God showed up and He's in the thick darkness. Hey, we need to get back to the secret places. God says that He that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, those that dwell in the secret place shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's here in the thick darkness that Solomon begins to pray. Verse number 12, Solomon starts to pray to the God of heaven. He praises God and he begins to call out to the Lord and he bows before Him. And here is the wisest man ever to walk the face of the earth. And he realizes when God shows up, it's time to worship. Amen. Hey, you want wisdom? Start worshiping. And he begins to pray before His presence. And the Bible says that as he prays and positions himself, he prepares what he knew and what God wanted here in His presence. You can't bring anything before His presence. You've got to come to the throne of grace. And it's here that he goes before the brazen altar that he prepared. 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high. 5 is the number of grace. 3 shows the triune God. There's the God of heaven, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that still wants to pour out grace in His presence. And the Bible says that he kneeled down upon his knees. No king would ever kneel, but King Solomon was wise enough to realize that there was a king above him. And he begins to kneel before the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands towards heaven. Hey, it's a New Testament thing that the Bible says, I will that men pray every everywhere lifting up holy hands. And it's not just about the position of the hands. It's the position of the heart of cleanliness before the Lord. And he spreads his hands towards heaven, verse 14, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in earth, which keep his covenant and show us mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of your heart, all their hearts. He prays in verse 18. He says, God, there's nobody like you. In verse 18, if you're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I don't have time to get into all of this, but verse 18, he says, listen, the earth can't explain you. The heavens can't contain you. This house can't contain you. But he says, listen, we thank you for your presence. We need your presence. We need your power. He says, God, we feel you. We see you dwelling in the thick darkness. But he says, God, the day comes when we can't sense your presence. If the day comes, we can't feel you. We can't see you. When we get blinded and in bondage, how do we get back? Solomon prays in this prayer. He says, Lord, if we're put to worse. Hey, maybe you're here this morning and you've been put to worse. You're going through something. And he says, if we're going through something, he says, Lord, would you please hear from heaven? Would you forgive the sin of your people? He says, if heaven is shut up and there's no rain because of sin, he says, Lord, if we confess your name and we turn from sin, Lord, I'm asking you to hear from heaven. I'm asking you to forgive their sins of the servants. It's important to understand that the revival promise came from a revival prayer. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Solomon says, include the stranger too. Hey, maybe God's not working in your life because you've not asked and God's waiting on you before he works. And Solomon says, include the strangers that enter the gates. It shows us that their promise applies to us as well. Here Solomon is quoting scripture. Hey, it's always a good idea to quote scripture when you pray. He's quoting Psalm 20, our scripture reading. We don't have time to show all the parts, but he says, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in your goodness. Lord, turn not away the face of thine anointed. He says, remember the mercies of David, thy servant. He says, my daddy used to talk about this. He spoke about your presence. He spoke about your power. He, under the inspiration, wrote down in the word of God that you will remember the anointed. When Solomon stops praying, chapter 7 and verse 1, the fire of God falls from heaven. And it falls in the same spot that it fell for his father on the threshing floor. I'm glad God shows up where he's been before. And now the presence is even thicker. It's so powerful. Now they really can't even get near the house of God. So they just step out and they observe God in his own house. And they just celebrate the goodness and glory of God. It's in chapter 7 and verse 12 that Solomon is sleeping. And God shows up to Solomon. He says unto him, hey, Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. Hey, I'm glad when God shows up at the midnight hour. I'm glad when God speaks when we least expect it. You know, God showed up to Solomon and spoke to Solomon at the time that he was most dependent. God has designed us to spend a third of our day in sleep. And here he is sleeping, completely dependent. And God speaks to him and he says, I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. In verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He says, Solomon, I heard your prayer and my promise is in response to your prayer. He says, if you're going through drought, if you're going to go through destruction, if you're going to go through disease, God says, this is the way back. Hey, we're looking at the United States of America. We're looking at our life, and it doesn't take anybody to figure out that we got some problems in our nation today. When the two presidential candidates are virtually alike in every respect, and they've got problems, as all of us have problems. Hey, listen, we need some revival in our churches to have some hope again. Hey, listen, we may not be, we're blinded today. We're in bondage today. We may not experience a drought of rain, but we have a drought of the Word of God. Locusts may not be moving on our crops, but we are being destroyed by the enemy of our souls. We may not have a pestilence around us that's real, although there's diseases that they're discovering every day that are resistant to more and more antibiotics. Amen. And you can't tell me that's just a coincidence. There may not be all those diseases as there was here, but there is a disease that is crippling our society called sin, and we need revival. Say, preacher, I can't believe you're talking about revival again. Yes, we need, that's the whole point of revival. Revival. Life again. And you say, well, didn't you get revival last year? Yes, I got revival last year. Didn't you get revival this past Thursday? Yes, I got revival this past Thursday. I like what one I heard of a lady that went to Billy Sunday, and she said, why do you keep having revival services and keep talking about revival when it just doesn't last? Billy Sunday said, the same reason you keep taking a bath. Hey, we need it. I need it every day of my life. Why? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And it's when we lose the presence and the power and the glory and the anointing of God, we have to get back fresh and apply the promise of Scripture. Well, how do we get back? Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through some sort of drought or disease or some sort of destruction in your life, and you're just wondering, how do I get back to God? Hey, maybe the devil has just convinced you that you've gone too far and you've done too much and there's no hope and you're just addicted, like Brother Jeffrey is talking about, and you might as well just call it quits. Hey, I'm here to tell somebody today, the devil is a liar and the father of it. He's come nothing but to kill, steal, and destroy, but he has come, Jesus has come, that we might have life and he might have it more abundantly. You're just one step back to God, to His presence, to His power. And if you just get out of this whole world and confess sin and begin to do what God created you to do, and that's to worship Him in the beauty of holiness, I can promise you from Scripture, the presence of God's going to fall upon your life. Forgiveness and cleansing of sin will happen. It's a promise. I want to take you through this passage because I want to unveil the Word of God. That's all we have this morning. I want to take you through this passage. Notice, first of all, there's the people of revival. The people of revival, that's you and that's me. Revival will not come from the courthouse or the White House. It will come when God's people are revived, when God's house, we who are called by the name of Jesus, stand up with the responsibility and right to be revived in His presence, when we are assembled together like we are here on a Sunday. I believe every service ought to be a revival service. If not, there's no reason to come. We're here to be revived. But notice here are the people of revival. The Scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, judgment must begin in the house of God. Listen, if we're going to have revival, it's not about getting the lost revived. They don't have vibes. They don't have life. It's those that are saved that start revival. If my people, which are called by my name, it speaks of the responsibility. It speaks of the right. I remind my boys all the time, that if I'm going to start anything, I'm going to start it in my house. I told my son one time he was starting to go through quitting something that he was trying to do, and I said, Shakur's never quit. And I said, repeat that after me, son. Shakur's never quit. He said, Shakur's never quit. He was playing a video game a few weeks ago, and he's like, Shakur's never quit. I'm like, well, sometimes. Sometimes it's okay to put things aside. Listen, God's saying, I want to talk to my people. I'm talking to those who are called by my name. The only time you find the phrase my people is in Judges chapter number 20. You see, in Judges, she's already saying amen, glory to God. There's Kaylee, by the way. Hallelujah. We're going to call her out back for counseling pretty soon to get saved. Glory. Judges 19 shows us the people of God. In fact, chapter 20 gives that phrase, but Judges 19 records a wicked act by the Benjamites. If you read, it's one of the strangest passages of Scripture. Judges 19, this Levite, who's backslid Levite, marries a slave, and he goes to a place, and the wicked Benjamites come after them, and they abuse her, and they murder her, and the Levite cuts her up in pieces, and it sounds like some strange crime show, but he sends her all across the... He said, I didn't read that in the Old Testament. It's there. Some interesting stories. And he sends her to the 12 tribes of a different piece to every tribe. You say, preacher, that's kind of weird. Well, it's in the Bible. And it's part of my people. And he sends all these strange pieces to all the different tribes. And they see it. And they realize what it is. The pieces are supposed to come together. And so they all assemble there together. And the Bible says in Judges 20 verse 2, 400,000 assemble to fight against the Benjamites. And it says that they presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God. Hey, what's that saying? It is the right and responsibility of God's people to assemble against sin in the midst. Amen. This was Israel. This was one of the tribes of God. But they had done wickedly in God's sight. And so now the 11 tribes had to stand against the one tribe. And there's a part of us that has to stand against ourselves sometimes as we stand for God. Listen, if we're going to have revival, we realize we're His people. We're called by His name. There has to be a holiness. There has to be an honor. And we need to assemble in the house of God and examine ourselves and see what areas of our life. And here's what He's saying. You're my people. You're called by my name. It's not just a responsibility. It's not just a right. It's a right, rather. Look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 27. God says, "Then they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God wants us to assemble in the house of God to deal with sin. God wants us to claim His name that is holy, the name that is almighty, the name that is matchless. Listen, if you're saved today, you're part of the people of God. You've been called by the name of God, and His name is Jesus. And God just wants us to assemble so much the more. Listen, revival will happen when the breath of God and the move of God and the Spirit of God is poured out upon His people. I believe it's time for the pieces to assemble. I believe it's people from all backgrounds and in all different places and different races. Listen, there's no race but the human race. I believe it's time for the church of God to assemble together. So much the more is start to see revival happening. One of the greatest sins in the midst can be pride, and that's what God deals with. Notice, first of all, not just the people of revival, but secondly, the position of the revival. Look, it says, shall humble themselves. To humble is to bend the knee. It's used again in Judges when the Midianites were subjugated under Gideon. Being humble before God is saying, God, I'm nothing. God, I need you. It's realizing that, God, we belong to you. I've heard people say, well, that's just who I am. I've said it many times before. God didn't save you to be like you. God saved you to be like Jesus. Listen, the position of revival is not saying, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. It doesn't matter if you've done it this way. What way does God want you to do? Amen. It's humbling yourself. It's not saying, I've got anything to bring to the table. It's saying, I want more of you. I want what you have for me. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revival is an invasion from heaven to the humble that brings a conscious awareness of God. You know what I like about the Burlington Revival? Brother C.T. Townsend doesn't stand up and say, hey, look at me. I'm evangelist, Brother C.T. Townsend, and we brought revival to Burlington. He takes every moment when he preaches to say, it's not about me, it's not about the church, it's all about Jesus. And the first time that I tuned into that revival in Burlington and I heard him say that, I realized at that moment that God is going to descend upon that place. Hey, listen, today here at Tabernacle Baptist Church in your life, it better not be about me. It better not be about you. It has to be about Jesus. Listen, we are nothing. We need him. We belong to him. He is high. He is holy. Listen, he wants to just descend upon us and fill us. The whole idea of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that we can't be filled with ourselves. We have to be filled with another. It's humbling ourselves. You say, well, there's some folks that come down to the altar every service. Praise God for those that come down or are able to come down to the altar every service. Hey, there's one lady here, we won't point her out, but listen, she comes and she can hardly see, and she can hardly sit, but praise God, she's seeking God every service. Amen. Amen. Wait, don't you worry about the ones that come often? No, I worry about the ones who've never come, who've never bent the knee, who've never called out for God. But sit there like a bump on the log and say, bless me if you can. Hey, listen today, I'm not trying to preach down to you. I'm trying to preach up to Jesus. And listen, it's time for us not to bow before the preacher, not to bow before the church, but for us just to humble ourselves in the presence of God. Hey, maybe miss a little meal, a little bit late, come a little late to Parker's Barbecue. Hey, maybe just spend a little time, extra time in the morning seeking his presence. But listen today, we need God. We don't need Joe Shakur. We don't need Tabernacle Baptist Church. We need Jesus Christ. If today you could see his presence like Isaiah did. Isaiah was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a Levite. He served God. He knew God. And when he got into the presence of God, he didn't say, wow, I'm so wonderful. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. In other words, I'm falling apart. I'm a man of unclean lips. Everything that I say is sick. Everything I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. It's just wickedness all around me. And he says, woe is me. Woe is me. Because there was a thrice holy God in heaven that the angels were speaking back and forth to each other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hey, would to God today that the Holy Ghost would give you a little sense of his presence and his power. And instead of lifting ourselves up, we just humble ourselves down before his presence. And when we humble ourselves, that's when he falls fresh upon us. He resisteth the proud. What's the proud? Those are the people that are always in conflict. Those are the ones that are always criticizing. Who are the proud? They're the ones that it's always about themselves. Listen, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Position of revival. Notice fourthly, the prayer of revival. It says, and pray and seek my face. It involves petitions. It involves his presence. Pray is bringing, the word here for prayer is speaks of judging oneself habitually. This prayer is an earnest seeking, earnest request. God, search me, try me, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me. That's the first prayer that we bring before his presence. Amen. Like what Gypsy Smith said, if you want revival, go home, take a stick of chalk, draw a circle around on the floor, step into that circle, and say, God, send revival right here. Hey, listen, we've called out those that are sinning in the society, but how about some people to say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. If you've been here to the service and you thought, oh, I hope that person gets this, or hope that person gets that, or hope that person down the road really listen, you're not come to the place to have revival, because every single one of us need to humble ourselves and pray, earnestly seeking God, avoiding all distraction. Daniel would pray like that and the lion's mouths would be shut. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prayed like that and the fire couldn't touch them. Moses prayed like that and God parted the Red Sea. Peter prayed and the angel opened the prison cell. Paul and Silas prayed and praised God, and at midnight, God opened it up. Listen today, it's pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it, and pray until you feel like it. And seek my face. Seeking his face, and I've shared this before, seeking his face. If you're seeking the face of God, you're not distracted this way. You're not distracted this way. Seeking the face of God is seeking the presence. If I'm seeking Scotty's face, I'm looking at Scotty. I'm as close to him as I possibly can. That's seeking his presence. It's not just about religiously going through petitions. It's about seeking the presence of God. Prayer of revival. Notice the penitence of revival. Turn from their wicked ways. If there's no repentance, there's no revival. Repentance is the mind shift from sin that changes the direction. Hosea put it like this in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. The people, the position, the prayer. Finally, there's the promise of revival. This is what God says. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. And then will I hear their land. Here's what God promises. He will hear you. Here's what God promises. He will heal you. Here's what God promises. He will help you. Verse number 15. Now mine eyes are open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made into this place. Here's what God says. I'm looking. I'm listening. Is there anybody that will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way? I'm looking for somebody that's a part of my people, that is a part of my name, that will humble themselves and pray. I'm looking and I'm listening because I want to send revival. You see, most messages end at this. But how do you apply this? See, revival cannot be organized. But we have to set our sails in order to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. Only God can send revival. But I want the sails to be set this morning. I studied and I prayed and God showed me 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You see, 100 years after this promise was made, a king claimed this promise. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat has just finished the new court, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by enemies on every side. Maybe you're surrounded this morning by enemies of doubt, enemies of difficulty, enemies of all sin. Whatever you're surrounded by, here's Jehoshaphat. This is the application. Jehoshaphat finds himself surrounded. 100 years later, he's surrounded by enemies, and he realizes that he has sinned. He's not separated from the world. He joined with the wicked King Ahab in the northern kingdom. And prophet says, God's wrath is upon you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Listen, that's revival. Setting yourselves to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. What did they do? They fasted, they prayed, and they worshiped. What did he do? He prayed before God. He called out to the God of heaven, just like Solomon did. And he names all of his names, and he claims 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Look at verse number 8. I love this. I loved it when God showed it to me. Look at verse number 8. Jehoshaphat says, 100 years later, after Solomon, he says, I'm talking to you, Lord. He says, they dwelt therein, and they built a sanctuary for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Does that sound familiar? He is claiming 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. He says, you said that you would heal us. You said you would help us. You said that you would deliver us and hear us. And after praying and after fasting, they went out before the presence of God, and they stood in front of the army. You see, it's not the physical. It's the spiritual. That's what we read about. It's some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of our Lord, our God. And they applied Psalm 20, and they set up their banners. But guess who what they put in front? They put the choir up front. If you're a military planner, you don't put the choir boys in front of the tanks. But they did, because they realized the power of worship when it comes to spiritual warfare. And the Bible says that they began to praise him in the beauty of holiness. They didn't get down and boogie. They didn't do something sinful. They didn't do something showy. They worshiped him. Worship is never a show of the sensual. It is always a sense of the sacred. And they got before God and they had real worship. And guess what happened? The Bible says that God showed up and God worked on their behalf and God fought their battle. And the prophecy came, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And there the entire time that they're praying, the entire time that they're worshiping, they say, our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Hey, do you want revival? Say this, our eyes are upon thee. Not just say it, but mean it. Our eyes are, listen, you may be going through difficulty. Somebody may be disappointing you. There may be problems, but our eyes are upon you. And I know where my power comes from. I know where my glory comes from. It comes from your presence. It comes from your anointing. It comes from you, God. And so we're looking to you, Lord. We're praising you, Lord. We're worshiping you, Lord. And all of a sudden, God showed up. And I believe with all my heart here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, 1 minute to pray, we worship him like that, God will show up. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.